Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. I, of course, want you to holler at me, so give me a call, 347-826-7435. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. You know, I would be remiss not to ask y'all to, you know, give me a shout-out on the social network of your choice. So if you're on Facebook, you can go to my Facebook group, Smooth Drama Group. Myself or Mr. J will, of course, hook you up with that hit, that join. You asked to jump in, we will throw you in there, and welcome to the fray. We always get great participation and interesting links and questions on a daily basis. Now, and if you're not a Facebook person, look, whatever, Google, Twitter, Instagram, you know, I take plenty of pictures. I do plenty of events, and so I'm always taking pictures. When I get the damnedest question. Somebody actually thought that I worked at a Halloween costume store. I don't know how you can get that, but okay. Maybe taking pictures of people in costume at a comic book convention. Because that would be weird, right? Like taking pictures with people who just come in and shop. Like, oh, man, you look good in that. Can I take a picture with you? I don't know. I think I would get fired for that. I really do. Anyway. Also, questions, comments, concerns, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. And if you're ghost listening, hey, I'm in the chat room. I saw a couple of y'all jumped in and jumped out. Hey, just dive in, say your piece. I promise I won't bite you, because that would be an internet bite. It would be kind of weird. Wouldn't I get a virus? I don't know. Welcome to the Kumbaya Show, where today I'm giving in to all the things that I argue against. You know what? I'm just not gonna do it. I'm gonna go with the flow. First, as I'm going with the flow, I want to give a special shout out to the young ladies, aka bots, who keep friending me on Facebook. Your spam is greatly appreciated. I don't know what I would do without your spam. It's one of those things. I wake up in the morning, first thing I do is grab my phone, look at my tablet, and make sure that I got some spam on it. Because if I don't have spam, I'm like, I haven't done anything today. It's just all jacked up. And I greatly appreciated my latest spammer is Bronwyn Jada Brenner. Special shout out to you. I look forward to not clicking on your live webcam that comes on anytime I want to click on it. I mean, hell, it's one of those things. I don't know what I'd do without y'all. Y'all make my day, really. like really and truly. I'm serious. It's an honor. And speaking of an honor, since we are doing the Kumbaya show, former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark, he did his, in Dragon Ball Z, they would call it Super Signs, where he went from being the number one Negro sheriff in all of the United States and America to being the spokesman for America First Action, which is a pro-President Donald Trump super PAC. You know, because he resigned last week from being the sheriff, and now he was he's moved up. He's a senior advisor and spokesman for America First Action Super PAC. Now, if you don't know anything about super PACs, super PACs basically are ways to get money and not have to pay taxes on it. And when I say get money, I'm talking about bribes. It's bribes, basically. So shout out to David Clark. Not a lot of black folks get I have to amend that. I was gonna say a lot of black folks don't get to get in on the top floor of Cooney. And apparently, he has mastered it. He went from copping and killing and talking about killing black folks in the public eye to now where he has a super PAC and he can just make money because of his intense hate for black folks. Well done, David Clark. You, my dear sir, deserve an applause. I mean, shit, that's awesome. I mean, my hat's off to you. Speaking of hats off to another super Negro, Steve Harvey, who came out and said, you know what? I'm down with Bill Cosby. I don't care what anybody says. He says, when I'm your friend, I'm your friend. Yeah, you might have raped like 40, 50 people. Or if we just split it down the middle and say he raped 25 of them, the other 25 is lying ass people. You know, that's it. That's what it is. Steve Harvey, he's like, you know, he just weighs in on it. He's like, you know, that, Bill Huxtable, who was a guy that was that likable on TV, and that he stands by the past assertion that Hollywood is more racist than America itself, which is funny because he's in Hollywood. And he says, because they don't get it. And it's not that they're racist. It's that they, the people who greenlight shows, sit in an office in Beverly Hills, Burbank, Studio City, and they make decisions about America. And none of them live there. And they've got to put everything in a category. Blacks were like this. This is a black show. I'm like, what? No, that is not how it happened. No, they're very... These black shows, including the shows that Steve Harvey is on and has been on, have been very thought-provoking. They've been shows that have challenged the imagination of all black people all over the world, all over the diaspora. Because Hollywood gets black people. I mean, you know, we think about that show that he does Big Little People or whatever, where he's got all the little kids. I mean, it's an awesome show, right? I mean, I watched it and I thought, man, black people would really like this. This is a black show. Sort of like what he said. You know, it's where I just say, you know what? I've been wrong. I have been wrong for so long now. And now I'm seeing the light. And it's a bright light. Not the bright light from like Poltergeist that the lady said,
don't go into the light.
It's not that light. It's, you know, it's just a light. And so I'm happy. I'm happy that I could see this. And man, it makes me feel good. I feel really, really good that you can see a super Negro like Steve Harvey. He can support his friend Bill Cosby, who rapes people. You know, like it's unconditional love. And that we need more of that for black folks. It don't matter what you've done, homie. Don't matter how many people you rape. I'm your guy. You're my guy. That's what it is. And we just need to go head on and ride that train too. Cause for so long we have people who criticize the super Negro, the coon. And I'm seeing that what we should be doing is we should be celebrating the coon. We should be saying, you know what, coon, we got you. I mean, because the coons have each other. They got each other's back. I said Herman Cain. You saw Herman Cain come out. You see Steve Harvey come out. And I know there'll be some people who say, well, hey, Steve Harvey ain't no coon. And Bill Cosby ain't no coon. And cooning is subjective. It's subjective, right? How you view cooning. I wouldn't say Bill Cosby's necessarily a coon. I'd be wrong if I would say he's a coon, because honestly, just raping people and destroying their lives, it's not necessarily cooning. I mean, it's just being a despicable human being. But being a despicable human being is kind of in vogue right now, as well as cooning. So maybe it's because they're like cousins. And that's why we have this issue. They're cousins. It's like, you know, like kissing cousin. It happens. It's not supposed to happen. But it happens, and I guess we kind of have to deal with it. And, you know, I've decided, hey, kumbaya, I'm not fighting it no more. Nope, not going to do it. It's just not going to happen. You know, why would I fight against the inevitable? It's a big, huge landslide of coon, it's what we call it, a landslide of a coon blizzard. We just gotta just taste it. I mean, we could just put some strawberry juice on it and it'd be like a snowball. Them snowballs that we used to get back in the days when it was very, very hot. That's what we got. And if we're not gonna do that, we can go to the Church of Cannabis. Now, for some of you, you didn't know, I was actually born in the non-great state of Indiana, in Indianapolis. And apparently, they established the first Church of Cannabis. So Indiana is famous for not just one thing, but two things. Indiana is famous for being the home of the Klan. The birthplace of the Klan. And very important and there. They're the home of the Church of Cannabis, which was vandalized. But you see, what I think is was happening. They weren't vandalizing because they wanted to tear up the Church of Cannabis. They probably were just looking for cannabis. They were the flock who have been led astray, and the cannabis will help them. At least they felt that the cannabis, the spirit of cannabis that everybody else is worshiping, would help them out. I don't know. Y'all know I'm having a hard time with this, right? This kumbaya stuff I'm doing here. If you know me, this is a special Academy Award performance. Just want to say that. In the meantime, in between time, I think I'm going to go on break. I think I need to go on break. This is Sky Zoo. Finesse everything.
And write and share knowledge and pour more, cause I got a case in a spare closet. My soft walks all through the table for sharing product. Four fours all on their waist, they hear wildin'. They corridors turn to a range with spare mileage. The speakers in the doors upgrade, you hear the pockets. I'm doing live hauling my tape. I saw Scottish, but still tough bitches and vape. Support dotting, contradiction. Grew up with a couple pots of piston. My parents were split, so I was drifting. Drifting whatever you seen before. I drift over letters like Ouija boards. You thinking Hasbro, I'm thinking the back door. Borders when the fair come. And Chris and Snoop with a nail gun. Fair none, hair none, worth fear being involved. They fear me like Sheila Salam. Seen it all, I mean. Thank God for bank cards and crash readers. Nick game, all black sneakers. Yellow chain, floor seat, cameras on me and Bay Frazier. My Jordan 3s might break up a layup. It's still flourish like I'm starving. Show's worth stardom. I'm usually in the garden. I ain't too hard to find. And no one ever you carve in mine. A double line time, you're the two part rewind. Bet I finesse everything. Like back democracy. You know I'm gonna shine. Bet I finesse everything.
Standing on the top.
Bet I finesse everything.
I want with the mic to know my sight.
Bet I finesse everything.
Shine like children's life.
Don't matter, I can finesse it. Cause if they can't answer you that, they out of the question. And if they can't hand you it back, stop suggesting. Even that or they can get back to finding an exit. Sitting in the front of the plane, ghost waiting for pick a name and another name, one and the same. And my OGs will give a jury under their rap sheet. And me and my wisdom blow jury money and patsies. Wisdom be leaking on my grapefruit fruit, but it don't break through to you until that pace you through. Cause know that if I wasn't writing in front of you, seen them sketch me. If I tell it, then y'all I'm better. I'm Ian Begley. Rap shit started at 9 on class walks, and that's me and another 9 on the blackboard. Ask for him, he can rhyme his ass off. Betty rhyme off his ass, and Lex steal it how he slide in his stash. Meanwhile, me and A debating on early nines, and talking about how we first linked like calling cards. Back when he called me over off the goal of my night, regretted letting me play, my crossover was nice. Chicken wings fried rice like I'm still 16, and I don't get called for features cause I kill 16. That's word to my man Joel. This rap shit's a bunch of oh wells. Fuck whatever I don't sell. Bet I finesse everything. Bet I finesse everything. Bet I finesse everything. Bet I finesse everything.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was Sky Zoo. Finesse everything. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And if you're afraid to call me, you can do like my latest editorial and long time listener and infrequent guest host, Chocolate, wrote today. Tech companies are stepping up. CEOs like Mark Zuckerberg are speaking out for various immigrants facing deportation if when they are denied renewal. They are saying things like human rights. Yet, I can't help but wonder how silent these groups were every time innocent blacks have been shot and killed at the hands of law enforcement and the average citizen, like George Zimmerman and countless others. What comes to mind are those that had car trouble and paid with their life, whether on the highway or knocking on the door for one to call for help. They voted to make America great again. They have been silent for Black Lives Matter. They have even censored Cher's stories on Facebook and in the media. However, now they want to say human rights. First, I want to say thank you, Chocolate, for your editorial post email. And let's just talk about what it is. I mean, generally speaking, we know that Zuckerberg has a lot of engineers. I mean, Facebook is a programming app, and they do a lot of programming there. Unfortunately, the American populace is not a techie, and for lack of a better word. And so a lot of the immigrants from other countries come over and they have tech experience. And so a lot of them are in Zuckerberg's employ. Now, whether or not they get the full benefits in all the packages that an American would possibly get, I don't know. I mean, I've always been of the contention, and you can debate or not debate, I've always said that you have illegal immigration because rich people don't want to pay the American citizen health care and health benefits. Thus, they can bring somebody in under the table, pay them less, don't have to pay the health care premium, and just be fine and make a lot of money. So to me, that's always been there. And no one ever claims that these rich corporations are un-American and unpatriotic for not hiring the American citizen. Now, of course, they will of course argue, well, the American citizen is not, the common American citizen is not equipped. There are not enough of Zuckerberg would. There are not enough tech guys to support what he and other tech companies are needing to be done. Thus, they need these immigrants, and why they would fight for them, because hell, they're trying to make money, and they only can make money if they can have these people to come in and do this work cheaper than what you or I could. Not saying that you or I would be a programmer that could help Facebook. The point is, we would never get the chance, which is the difference. Hopefully, I answered that question. And as always, Ms. Chocolate, feel free to email us your contributions to the show are always greatly appreciated, as is your presence. And I also, it was like a special twofer. I got a response on my Smooth Drama blog, where someone essay on time, and in my blog I asked the question, "What do Black people care about?" I have a hard time figuring it out nowadays. There are a lot of historical factors that play a part in who we are as a people and how we perceive each other and interact. In light of the recent riots, shoring our own communities, whatnot. And mind you, I wrote this in April 2015. The answer to my question was, it's a fantastic question. I think you should ask some Black people, and they will probably answer you. To which I would say to Essay on Time, thank you very much. As a Black person who talks to Black people all the time, because I'm not afraid of Black people, I've asked this question. I've got varying answers. And I will pose this question a couple years later. What do you, as my listeners, think? I mean, how do you think we perceive each other? Do you think Black folks perceive each other and receive each other in love and in open arms, ready to embrace one another? In as my show's title, Kumbaya style. Are we ready to embrace one another and, you know, try to move forward in a loving manner and a positive vibe? Or do we hate each other's guts and don't care that your oppressor is uniting as one to systematically take any gains we have acquired? Just a thought, just a question. I'm curious to see if there's anyone, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com, who would answer my question. You know, there are no wrong answers. I just solicit opinions because I would like to hear what people say and what they think about things. For example, you know, when I talk about my blog question and how people are and how Black people receive each other, it was one of those. I saw, I don't know if anybody saw the video of the white woman who pulled the gun in the Walmart. And I mean, there were a lot of different opinions on it, you know, because I saw, you know, and it was one of the things that was debated on in my Smooth Drama group. You know, it's like, well, hey, you know, her daughter had grabbed a notebook because back to school shopping. Because for some strange reason, people don't shop during the summer. Like, at their leisure, they just figure, like, hey, that last week before school, that's the time when you go shopping. Anyway, now I know there are sales and whatnot, but you still could get some things and not really, you know, have to pull your gun out. But anyway, what happens in the video is the girl is on the ground and these women are holding her down, and the woman's like, hey, try to get them off the daughter because they're fighting over the notebook. You know, trifling shit. So she pulls out her gun, like, hey, everybody, back up off my daughter. And everybody just scatters. And, you know, and I mean, she was legal with her. She was a concealed gun permit owner. So, I mean, you know, and it's one of them things. I mean, because she's like one of them commercials, like, yeah, see, you need your gun in Walmart. Now, I question the wisdom of a store that takes money from people having people able to walk in the place with weapons. I mean, I just automatically think some people who walk in with weapons may or may not want to rob the place and the people in it. But, you know, once again, I'm not trying to make sense tonight. I'm gonna let that go, cause that's too much. It tonight I don't even want to make sense. I don't even want to think about making sense. I'm kumbaya. I'm all about the love. I love everything and everybody. Yes, can you feel my vibe? Anyway. Yeah, I mean, I have a gun in Walmart, and we gonna get this last notebook. That's what it is. Then there was the people who were outraged over Joel Osteen giving the collection plates to the congregation, including the hurricane victims, which was pretty much everybody in Houston. Everybody in Houston was a hurricane victim, and he's passing the collection plate, to which I would say, hey, hold on. It's a lot of upkeep. Y'all got to understand, it's a lot of upkeep, because at first he didn't want to open the doors because he was like, look, you know how much this carpet costs? You know how much these pews cost? Because I'm guessing they didn't use plywood, right? We know those pews are not made with plywood. That is more than likely pine oak, sanded down and polished with the finest polish and sealed and stained like you don't even know. Maybe cherry. I don't know. I haven't been inside his mega church, but I would take an educated guess that it is immaculate in there. And the pews and maybe the cushions inside, you know, on them pews. So if you're sitting there for a while, I mean, you could sit there and the collection plate can come around twice and you'll feel comfortable, right? Because if you're just sitting on that hard oak, you can't sit there that long. So you'll probably only be able to sit through one collection round, right? So what does Joel Osteen do? He says, you know what? I'm going to need them to feel comfortable to the point where they might even be close to falling asleep so they can stay for that second collection. Because the basket goes around once, and then you see everybody else coming in and digging in their pocket and coming out their pocket, because it's like that peer pressure, like, oh, man, I only gave a couple of dollars, and he gave five. And it comes around again, they give another five. Do you give two? Or do you come up off your pocket and get five or even 10? So that's what Joel Osteen is thinking about. He's also, once again, the upkeep of the church. He's got a lot of people there. A lot of folks coming in, you know, they may not smell the best. It may not look the best. They're in my church. I have to take care of them because public opinion said that I was an asshole for not letting them in. So I'm going to let them in, but I got to charge you. Yeah. I'm going to charge you. Which is what he did when he passed the collection plate. Like, you know what? If y'all going to be here, y'all going to have to get up off your cash. Yes, I know. You may not have a place to stay any longer. This may be a burden on your pocket, but you know what? I know he said, he's like, you know what? If you give, the Lord will make his way for you. The Lord will bless your blessing. So when you're blessing the church, i.e. me, Joel Osteen, you are blessing yourself double. Because anything you give me, God going to give you double. Because what they say is that hopefully those people who are watching me live, y'all, you know, I'm going to try to do this where it looks like, you know, that unnecessary movement that you see a lot of the reality show stars and some black people who are black women who are mimicking this buffoonery. You know, where you just, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. No, anyway, I can't do that. But point is, it's all about the upkeep and maintaining that lifestyle. Because people want to see their church looking good, feel good. That's saying that God is blessing Joel Osteen. And so, by extension, if God is blessing Joel Osteen and you go to Joel Osteen's church and you were lucky enough to be one of those people who got inside his church and had to pay that toll, that stay in my church toll, even though you're homeless and got nowhere to go, look on the bright side. God is blessing you too. Yes, God is trying to tell you something. Like the color purple. God is trying to tell you something. God is trying to tell. Anyway. I'm just. Oh, man. Oh, I'm struggling here. Why am I struggling? I don't know. Oh man. So yeah, it's all about kumbaya and loving one another and understanding that in loving one another, yes, 99% of the time, it may look and feel a little lopsided. Yes, it will look and feel a little lopsided. But as Bring Rain said in Pulp Fiction, that's just pride fucking with you. Don't let your pride fuck with you and take you off your game. Whatever you thinking about, no. Mm-mm. Remember, no matter what, the Lord got you. You won't get it now, according to the narrative. Because like I said, I think we started off, I said we, like there's more than one person here. But I started off by saying 99% of the time, these things are slanted the other way. The way that you probably won't flourish or be nourished with. It's not going to happen for you. You're that 1%. But that 99% of it not going your way, according to the scriptures, it just gets flipped around. And you're going to be part of the 99% when you get to heaven. Because you've been very, very good. And that's what happens. At least that's what they say on TV. I could be wrong. I'm more than likely wrong. One, because I have not died and came back that I know of, allegedly. And basically, I can say I have no idea what the next what do you call transition is, what, where we go after this life. I don't know, but it's a thought. And on that note, I'm probably going to need to go on a break. Why do I need to go on a break? Because I just do. This is because I'm being all kumbaya. Although this is not necessarily a kumbaya song. It is kind of kumbaya-ish. This is Miss Dynamite. Fall in Love Again. Dynamite in our lives, right? Kind of, sort of, maybe. I don't know. 347-826-7435 is the calling number. Again, that calling number is 347-826-7435. Whew, man. I was not going to do this because, you know, once again, I was thinking kumbaya y'all know I try to be stubborn and stick to the script. And so, surprisingly, I'm going to stick to the script. I mean, obviously, I'm going to do it smooth drama style, but I still am. Because, of course, I still have a Groundhog Day, right? Can you not have a Groundhog Day?
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
Oh, what is that shit that happened again that my main man is saying, oh, hell no, to yet again? You know, there have been a lot of people who've been protesting. It's the in vogue thing to do right now, to protest Confederate monuments. And so it was another thing that was out there. I mean, because quiet is kept. I mean, yes. If every Confederate monument mysteriously vaporized and turned to ash, I can't say that my feelings would be hurt, right? And I don't think it's too many folks who would be like, really, like, oh my God. Well, too many people who look like me. Obviously, there are some people who look like me who would be upset with the Confederate flag, not just the flags, but the Confederate monuments, statues going away. I mean, because for some folks, it's that history. And we know Super Negroes, they have an undying passion for the good old days of slavery when they weren't thought of as human. I mean, it's just, you know, years ago, he would have been the overseer, and he'd been tearing the flesh off your back with his whip. I think I may have told the story. Maybe I haven't told the story. I was doing a training for the job this summer, and, you know, they asked us if you have a special skill that you wanted to show during the training. We would take a break and we would all partake in the special skill and be like, oh, and marvel at each other. So one of my fellow coworkers, he said he wanted to do a demonstration with a whip. And so what he does is everyone goes out and he tapes paper on the end of brooms and mops and other cleaning utensils long enough so that the person who's holding it wouldn't be in harm's way of the whip, per se, because you're just far enough where it can't hit you. But, I mean, he's just like, whoop-ah, whoop-ah, and he's knocking he's tearing the paper in half right off the thing. Now, generally speaking, when I'm not feeling kumbaya-ish like I am right now, I see that, and I can't say that I was impressed. I can't say that I clapped or cheered or any of those other things when he was whipping and tearing those papers in half with his whip. I can't say that There was a positive thought in my body. I mean, it seemed like it was starting to drizzle, and I may have thought, could lightning strike him? I may have thought that. I don't know for sure, but it may have crossed my mind. But it didn't happen. So luckily he can teach, but maybe he won't teach the whipping to the kids. He'll just, anyway. So there was, speaking of whipping, there's what they call a whipping post on the greens of this place in Connecticut. Waterbury. Now, whipping posts is where they would tie black people, you know, chain them, tie them up, whatever, and they'd be on their knees and they would whip them. Yeah. And I mean, and it's a, and they have they've renovated the area, and it's one of those landmarks. It's a landmark, and people look at it and marvel at it and take pictures of it. Now, I'm one of them people who, once again, normally, when I'm not in kumbaya mode, I'm thinking, man, if there was like a lightning strike or a dirty bomb was to go off there, something like that happened, I can't say that I would miss whipping posts. I've never seen one. I've seen people get whipped. That's a whole different story. But I've never seen one. I don't know if it would necessarily, even though I'm feeling all lives matter in my heart right now. I can't say that again. I'm gonna start laughing. what I'm saying is, you know what? I appreciate people who appreciate their history, the negativity, and they want to embrace it and tongue kiss their oppression. I feel you. You know, I mean, if I was a super Negro, I would more than likely feel that way also. Yeah, I mean, see, it's like Ray Lewis, and remember, listeners, I am putting together a Coon of the Year award show. Where we're going to talk about the people who the Coon Force is strong with in December. Please, smoothdrama at smoothdrama.com. If you have any individuals who you think should be nominated for Coon of the Year, please do not hesitate to email me your suggestion. I want to hear from you. In the meantime, Ray Lewis says the Ravens didn't sign Colin Kaepernick due to his girlfriend's racist tweet. You know, she tweeted, "I'm startled that he has not been signed. I've been told ever since I started covering the NFL that talent wins out. We've seen teams take chances on a lot of unsavory characters. The fact that this is what has tipped over and they can't come to grips with signing the guy who has kneeled for the national anthem, but you've signed guys that have enormous legal issues and they've been embraced by teams and they've been embraced by fans. I find that curious." Now, Ray Lewis comes out and says, "When me and Steve Bisciotti, who's the owner of the, I think the general manager of the Baltimore Ravens, they were talking about giving Kaepernick an opportunity to get back in the NFL. Ray Lewis was like, "Look, this is what I want to share with people. I've been fighting for this kid behind the table like nobody has. I've never been against Colin Kaepernick, but I am against the way he's done it." Then his girlfriend goes out and put out this racist gesture and doesn't know we're in the back office about to try to get this guy signed. You know, and Steve Bisciotti said himself, "How can you crucify Ray Lewis when Ray Lewis is the one calling for Colin Kaepernick?" And so what he said is when the Ravens called him, Ray Lewis, say yes or no, and they were going to close the deal. And he says he wants to hear Colin speak to him and let him know that he wants to play football, and it never happened because the picture comes out the next day. What is the picture that we're talking about? The picture is a picture of Ray Lewis hugging Steve Bisciotti from behind. Underneath it, you know how they do the memes, the comparison pictures, was a picture of Samuel Jackson hugging Leonardo DiCaprio the exact same way in the Django Unchained. You know, like the comparison. Like, I love my master. And so Ray Lewis said he didn't sign Colin Kaepernick, not because of something that Colin Kaepernick did. He didn't recommend it because it was what Colin Kaepernick's girlfriend did. So once again, not the talent, not the character of the man. Your girlfriend put out this picture that made me look bad. So I'm going to recommend that you not be signed. Now, once again, normally I've said I would be hardcore against that. And I would say the Coon Force is very, very strong with Ray Lewis. I mean, and it's one of those things you hate to say it. And like I said, I'm kumbayaing right now. I'm not even trying to diss Ray Lewis, you know? It's not my thing. But I think I finally figured it out. I finally figured it out. What are these coons angling for? You know, I mean, in some cases, David Clark, he got paid. He's running Donald Trump's super PAC, right? So he, of course, is getting it in like nobody's business. Because that is just basic. Super PAC is just basically money that just comes into your hands. Who knows how much it is? You know, the bribe force is strong there. Because, you know, I'm always talking about the force, right? So, now, you move up. And you talking about Ray Lewis and all the other coons who have come out. I just figure, and it's my speculation, I could be wrong, I'm thinking like we have Confederate monuments and statues. I'm thinking these coons are saying, you know what? Why can't we have a statue? Why can't we have statues? I mean, you'll have Jerry Rice in his thing. He'll be eating a leg as a statue here in the Bay Area. I'm just saying it kind of makes sense, right? Then you'll get Ray Lewis. He'll be outside Baltimore saying, know what? I mean, and he'll be sacking Colin Kaepernick. That's what I see. That's what they're angling for. Super Negro statues. You know, we got Mount Rushmore. You just pick a hood in America and put up Mount Negro. They want to be on Mount Negro. That's my thoughts. Now, I don't know, but I always ask for my listeners out there, people who are watching, listening, who do you think should be on Mount Negro? Who is the biggest super Negro, house Negro coons that you know? SmoothDrama@SmoothDrama.com. Hit me. I'm curious. On that note, I'm Mr. F the N-Word. You know this is another Smooth Drama production, and I am out. I'm about to go flex. I'm about to eat some gummy bears and curl. I'm going to curl these gummy bears into my mouth. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast. Smooth.
She is the lady with her hands
up. Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth
drama.